ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय हरे कृष्ण विल रीड फ्रॉम द नेक्टर ऑफ डिवोशन दिस चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड एज एस्पेक्ट ऑफ ट्रांसेंडेंटल सर्विस रूप गोस्वामी इज डिस्क्राइबिंग द प्रिंसिपल्स ऑफ साधना भक्ति द 64 आइटम्स ऑफ डिवोशनल सर्विस And one of them is surrendering everything to the Lord, Atma Nivedanam. Regarding complete surrender, there is a nice description in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 29th chapter, verse 34. Where the Lord says, a person who has completely surrendered unto me and has completely given up all other activities is protected by me personally, both in this life and in the next. In other words, I wish to help him become more and more advanced in spiritual life. Such a person is to be understood as having already achieved sarshti, having equal opulence with the Supreme. It is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita that as soon as a person surrenders unto the lotus feet of Krishna, Krishna takes charge of him. And gives him a guarantee of protection from all sinful reactions. He also instructs from within, so that the devotee may very quickly make advancement towards spiritual perfection. This self-surrender is called Atma Nivedan. According to different authorities, self is differently defined. Self is sometimes considered to refer to the spirit self. Or soul, and self is sometimes considered to refer to the mind or to the body. Full self-surrender, therefore, means not only surrendering oneself as a spirit soul, but also surrendering one's mind and body to the service of the Lord. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has sung a nice song in this connection. While offering himself as a fully surrendered soul, he said, My mind, my household affairs, my body, whatever is in my possession, my dear Lord, I offer to you for your service. Now you can do with them as you like. You are the supreme possessor of everything. So if you like, you can kill me. Or if you like, you can give me protection. All authority belongs to you. I have nothing to claim as my own. Sri Yamunacharya, in his prayers to the Lord, has expressed a similar idea in the following words. My dear Lord, I may be living within some body as a human being or as a demigod, but whatever mode of life I do not mind, because these bodies are simply byproducts of the three modes of material nature. And I, who am in possession of these bodies, I am surrendering myself unto you. In the Hari Bhakti Viveka, there is a statement regarding how one can offer his body in self-surrender. There the devotee says, My dear Lord, as a sold animal has no need to think about his maintenance and sustenance. So, because I have given up my body and soul unto you, I am no longer concerned with my maintenance and sustenance. In other words, one should not bother about his personal or family maintenance or sustenance. If one is actually surrendered in body and soul, he should always remember that his only concern is to be engaged in the service of the Lord. Srila Rupa Goswami says that devotional service in friendship and devotional service in self-surrender are two difficult processes. Therefore, such relationship with the Lord can very rarely be seen. Only for the advanced devotees are these two processes easily executed. The purport is that it is very rare to see surrender which is mixed with sincere ecstatic devotion. One must give himself completely to the will of the Lord. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana मिलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः Hare Krishna. It's a very difficult subject matter, as Srila Rupa Goswami, Prabhupada is quoting him, that the principle of friendship with the Lord and Atma Nivedanam are very difficult process to execute. But at the same time, surprisingly, even though they say it is difficult, Srila Rupa Goswami, in this Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he makes a point that this is the part of the sadhana bhakti. It is one of the 64 items of devotional service which is supposed to be executed by a practicing devotee like all of us. Therefore, from very beginning, before we begin to discuss this point, we should not justify the point of Rupa Goswami saying that it is not for me. In fact, this principle of Sharanagati is the substance of our devotional practice. If that is not there, then all other practices of devotional limbs becomes quite ritualistic. But when it is flavored with surrender, or at least aspiring to be surrendered soul, then the process of Krishna consciousness becomes very exciting to perform. Devotional service or Krishna consciousness is quite different from ordinary religious practices. In the ordinary religious practices, we see the principle of giving is there. Every religion has this principle of you offer something to God. But what is the background? In giving we receive. The saying is there. In giving you receive. But the philosophy of Krishna consciousness is in giving you learn to give more. You don't stop. In giving you go on giving more and more and more, and there is no end to that. So therefore sometime it may apparently appear to be very difficult to execute. But the process is so powerful. If you are connected to the process of Krishna consciousness at some point of time, surely, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he promised this principle to Rupa Goswami, just by executing the devotional service as prescribed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we come to that level. If we don't come to that level, at least we feel guilty about it. In the external religious practices, one is proud of his practice. He thinks he's very religious. He's arrogant about his religious practices. And then his practice of religion makes him feel that he's so superior that others are all useless. But with the principle of Krishna consciousness, as given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when you start practicing the process, even if you are not practicing, at least you know that you are not practicing. And therefore, the ordinary life does not give us satisfaction unless we attain that goal. So from very beginning, we make a foundation of our discussion, is that this principle of Sharanagati is meant for all the sadhakas. And Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, while speaking the sixth principle of surrender, when Sanatan Goswami was discussing with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke to Sanatan Goswami about the principle of Sharanagati. Sharanagati or Atma Nivedan, they are one and the same. In fact, Atma Nivedan is part of Sharanagati. And Lord Chaitanya said there are six stages of Sharanagati. And they are very practical. It begins with Anukulasya Sankalpa. That when we start practicing devotional service, what do? We accept whatever is favorable for our devotional service. And therefore the Vedic culture, the culture of Krishna consciousness, in the broad spectrum, we call it as a Vedic culture. If you see and study the lifestyle in the Vedic culture, what does it teach? The whole lifestyle teaches us how to continue to depend on Krishna. By seeing Krishna's existence in every aspect of the life. The difference between Vedic culture and Western culture is to see spirit or the Supreme Spirit in matter. And the Western culture is to see matter in spirit. What is the difference? When we can see spirit everywhere, we can see Supreme Spirit everywhere, then naturally you don't want to exploit. Exploitation is caused because there is a tendency to manipulate matter. When you see matter everywhere, then you think that matter is made for my purpose, to manipulate matter and use it according to my desire. And because we see matter in spirit also, therefore we become materialistic. And a person, when he becomes materialistic, then he becomes desensitized. But on the other hand, when you see spirit in matter, when we can see the intervention of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as in the morning Radha Gopinath was quoting from that verse, that Lord Vishnu, he anupravishtai, enters into every living entity. Not only every living entity, in every matter. So in that concept is there, naturally one cannot exploit. In the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the conflict was between Hiranyakashipu and Prahlad Maharaj. And what was the conflict? The conflict was, Hiranyakashipu was seeing everything as the source of his enjoyment. And therefore he could not see God anywhere. And Prahlad Maharaj, being a great devotee of the Lord, exactly opposite of his father, he could see God everywhere. That was the conflict. The conflict between Hiranyakashipu and Prahlad Maharaj was seeing God everywhere and seeing God nowhere. And when we don't see God everywhere, that is part of Sharanagati. When we don't see God everywhere, then whatever happens in our life, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains in one of his books, that when you don't see Krishna everywhere, then naturally whatever happens in your life, you think you are the controller. We have these self-made people. They are the most difficult to preach. Because from their early childhood, they don't have the facilities to learn on somebody or something. They are dropped by their parents. The society has not taken care of them. Everywhere they see dark. And then what happens? They become quite confident about themselves. And some other, they stand on their own feet. And because of, they have not learned the culture of depending on others, if you go and preach to them about Krishna consciousness, they said, where is God? I'm a self-made person. Depending on God is a sign of slavery. Therefore, they are difficult to preach. But if somebody has the culture of being dependent on others, then he can see it very easily that it's easier to depend on God. So that was the conflict between Prahlad Maharaj and Hiranyakashipu, to see God everywhere and to see God nowhere. And even though Hiranyakashipu saw Lord Vishnu coming right in front of him, even that point he had a facilities to surrender to Lord Narasingadev. He saw Lord Narasingadev, but he said no, he wanted to fight Narasingadev. In fact, Srila Prabhupada explains, unless you are qualified to see God, demanding to see God is a demonic culture. Very powerful statement. That if you don't have the qualification to see God and you demand to see God, that means you are outright demon. You have to develop that culture. Like I read this story long back. When the astronauts went to the space and they went around, they came back and they were going around different places. and talking about how they landed on moon. And then in one school, when they were giving their talk to the students, and the young children were quite innocent, they asked the astronauts, they were not interested in all those technical details. One of the students, he said, "Sir, did you see God there? Because you are taught from your childhood that God is up there. He is watching all our activities." And then he said, "No, I was looking everywhere for God in this space, but I could not see him." And the priest was there. He said, "My dear child, how can he see God there? Because he has not learned the art of seeing God here, he will not see there." So therefore, that was the difference between Prahlad Maharaj and Hiranyakashipu. And consequently, he could not surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in the Vedic culture, when we practice this principle of depending on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the whole culture, the occupation in the Vedic time was based upon this principle that minimize your bosses. In the mundane world, when you have many bosses, naturally all the faculty of depending on God is taken, stolen away by these so-called masters. And because they steal all these things from us, the faculty of depending on God, then what do you say? "I don't have time to practice God consciousness." In fact, practicing God consciousness becomes a luxury. When Prabhupada was distributing books in Delhi, many Indians would say, "Oh, this is too much. It is a luxury item." No, first of all, we have to maintain our family, maintain this, maintain that, work for our family, sustain. Then we can think about God. Why? Because they have got so many masters in their life. Srila Prabhupada explains in the Bhagavatam purport, one of the reasons in this age of Kali why people live less, because over dependence on others' mercy. The whole chain, the whole society is so designed that there is such a connection on every aspect of our life. We depend so much. If the fans are not working, we'll be so miserable. If the trains are not working, we are so miserable. If the water is not running in the tap, we are so miserable. So the modern civilization is so designed so that we become slave of all our facilities. In fact, one philosopher says, if you do not have an inner life, then what happens? You become slave of your surroundings. That is the precise difference between Western culture and Vedic culture. But when you become dependent of your surrounding, you don't become dependent anymore, then the faculty is there to depend. That is naturally offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, anukulasya sankalpa, whatever is favorable, accept that. When Prabhupada wanted to establish simple living and high thinking, it is not simple that you go to live in the farm, it is so nice. No, it has a deep, profound understanding behind that. That you no more depend on the externals of this material world. And pratikulasya varjanam, and whatever is not favorable to devotional service, you reject that. When these two principles are practiced, then what happens? Rakshasiti vishwaso. Then that natural faith is awakened that Krishna is the protector. In the olden times, when the farmer, he would till the ground, then plant his seed, he had that conviction that, and in fact, the Shastras talk about when he's planting the seed, he has to perform certain pujas. He has to offer certain sacrifice to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So naturally a farmer, what does he do? More than anybody else, he depends on God. He depends on Krishna's nature. Now that facility is also taken away by the modern people. Now the farmer has to depend on the big scientists to manipulate the grains and the fertilizers. He has to depend on the shopkeeper. He does not depend on God. There is a saying in Marathi that farming is considered as first class occupation. Sheti uttam. What is that next? या शेति उत्तम व्यापार मध्यम एंड नौकरी अधम. That saying is there. Why? Because again the principle of dependence. That a farmer does not have to depend on anybody else except Krishna. But naukri means what? That you have to depend on so many people. Therefore there is less facility. You can't have natural faith in God that he can protect me. No, let me arrange all my material necessities. Then let me think of depending on God. Even though the modern people, they claim that practicing religion means you becoming slave of your imaginations. You imagine that God is protecting. Forget this. Give up this slavery mentality. But one cannot avoid, because that is our natural constitutional position. You have to depend. You have to become a slave. But you have the choice to become the slave of your mundane superiors, or you have a choice to become the slave of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, Rakshisiti Vishwaso, the third stage is that one depends on God. And the fourth stage, Goptritve Varanam Tata, the fourth stage is that you know that Krishna is the real maintainer. He is the one who provides everything. Prabhupada would make this point all the time. How a modern person fails to understand that one cannot subsist by eating nuts and bolts. And all the factories, what they are producing, they are producing nuts and bolts. And we are so much dependent on them. Srila Prabhupada explains in one of his talks that India got its independence. They were lamenting, oh, we don't have much factories, we don't have much factories. That was their lamentation. In fact, Gandhiji explained, if the agriculture perishes or India's village perishes, India perishes. But because some leaders were influenced by powerful Kali Yuga influence, they could not see that. And therefore we see that how India is not only perishing materially, people say that it is flourishing, but culturally it is dead. Prabhupada explains culturally it is gone. But when we practice the principle of Sharanagati as prescribed in the Vedic culture, then you understand actually Krishna is the maintainer. He is the one who provides everything. He is the one who gives us grain. He is the one who gives us water. In fact, one of our devotees recently, when we were in the West, we have one devotee, Srila Prabhupada's disciple. He is known amongst everyone that wherever he goes and performs kirtan, he brings rains. After we came back, this one devotee wrote to me that this devotee was traveling to different places, and wherever he would go, after the kirtan would be over, there would be rains. He told his story. One time in Fiji Island, when Tamal Krishna Maharaj had gone to preach, and during that time in Fiji, it was already a drought. The rainy season had already passed, and they had not experienced rain for 2 years, and mostly they grow sugar cane. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj was speaking in an agricultural college, and he was speaking about yajna, how one should perform yajna. And he said, if you perform yajna, only yajna can bring rains. And if the rains are there, then the grains will come. And if the grains are there, then you can subsist. So he was speaking that from the Bhagavad Gita. And after the talk was over, one lady professor, she raised her hand. And she was quite disturbed because there were no rains. And the Swamiji comes and talks something very fantastic ideas. And she said, Swamiji, you know, you're talking too much about these things. Can you bring rains by performing yajna? And he concluded his talk by saying, the best yajna in this age of Kali is to chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And again, because Tamal Krishna Maharaj had stayed with Srila Prabhupada, he had complete conviction. Without any doubt, he said, yes, you start kirtan from now. We'll continue performing kirtan. And after the kirtan is over, the rains will come. His plan was not to stop the kirtan till the rain comes. Sorry. So this devotee, who was famous amongst other devotees, that rain producer. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj told, now you start the kirtan. And he was thinking, what if the rain doesn't come? You know, boldly in front of thousands of students, Tamal Krishna Maharaj made this declaration that the rains will come. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj announced that you have to put complete faith. You have tried with your all material means, you could not bring rains. Now you try our method. So actually all the students folding their hands, the teachers, the professors, and more than anybody else, the devotees themselves. With great intensity, they started chanting the Hare Krishna mantra for 2 hours. And after the 2 hours, they completed the Harinam, the rain started falling. And what to speak of that, not only one time, the whole night there was rain. And then these people, these devotees were recognized in all the newspapers. There was a big headline articles. The Hare Krishna devotees, those who produce rains. And not only that. And then they went on traveling to all different cities of Fiji Island. And this devotee personally, Vakreshwar Pandit Prabhu is known as that, who produces rains by his chanting. So whenever and whichever cities they went to Fiji Island, people would welcome them. And they would chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And sure enough, the rains were there. Immediately the rains would come. So the point is that vishwas, that faith is developed in the heart of a devotee. That Krishna is the maintainer. He is the one who produces everything. And the next stage is Atma Nikshepa. And this word Nikshepa, Kshepa. Kshepa is like, you throw these missiles. So Nikshepa means no objection. Atma Nikshepa. If Krishna does something in your life, you don't object. That is the exact precise meaning of the word Nikshepa. Putting down, placing, throwing, casting or depositing or pledge. And Akshepa means objecting. Going against the desire of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that is the fifth principle. And that is Atma Nivedanam. That whatever Krishna does in my life, I will not object. And that is the difference between ordinary religion and Krishna consciousness religion. And when that Atma Nikshepa is there, then what happens? Naturally there is humility. Karpanya. Karpanya means one completely depends on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Srila Rupa Goswami, he gives the example of Bali Maharaj as the personification of self-surrender. Now what is Bali Maharaj's background? Bali Maharaj was not even a regular practicing devotee. He was a demon number one. His whole life was based upon fighting the demigods. In fact, he defeated all the demigods. And demigods are supposed to be the devotees of the Lord. And he was fighting them. And Lord Vishnu, when he saw that the demigods are completely defeated, they came to Lord Vishnu saying that we are in difficulty. And Lord said, you have to perform a truce. You can't fight them now because they are too powerful. You offended your spiritual master. You cannot fight. Better have a truce with the demons. And he gave the idea of churning the milk ocean. And they did that. They got the nectar. But still they were not satisfied. Because Bali Maharaj was still living. And he had all the opulence. He was still the lord and master of the three worlds. And Indra was not at all satisfied with that. He was so restless. So then Lord Vishnu, just to please the demigods, apparently to please the demigods, but in reality, he wanted to give a facility for Bali Maharaj to exhibit the highest principle of devotional service, offering everything to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Lord Vishnu, our Nityananda Prabhu was explaining morning, that just see, Lord Vishnu is so wonderful that the Supreme Lord, he descends to this material world, and he performs unlimited pastime. One Vaishnava Acharya explains that Lord was enjoying with 16,000 wives, and suddenly just to save Bali Maharaj, he comes as a brahmachari. Such a contrast for him. He has to change the role. So he came as a brahmachari and he came in the arena of Bali Maharaj. And simply by seeing Lord Vamandev, he became so fascinated. If you are attracted to somebody, you want to give everything. So Bali Maharaj, seeing Vamandev, became so happy seeing a brahmana come to his place where Bali Maharaj was about to perform this big sacrifice. He had his teacher, all other priests, and all his demonic friends. And Bali Maharaj said, what can I offer you? You ask anything from me, I'm willing to offer it to you. And Vamandev gave his philosophy. And after speaking so much, Lord Vamandev, as a brahmachari, said, give me 3 steps of land. And Bali Maharaj said, even though you speak big, big thing, but you are so unintelligent. Why ask only 3 steps of land? You know, I'm such a big person and you're asking only 3 steps of land. You're not very intelligent. You're not matured. You're not worldly wise. And Vamandev spoke to him. He said, one will not be satisfied even if he has got 3 worlds. And he was pinpointing to Bali Maharaj only. You got everything, but still you're not satisfied. So if you want to be satisfied, you can be satisfied with whatever you have. But if you don't want to be satisfied, then you'll not be satisfied with whatever you have. Therefore, suffering, as our Sridhar Maharaj would say, that suffering is compulsory, but misery, what is that? Misery is compulsory, but suffering is optional. Nobody can make you suffer unless you decide to suffer. Nobody can make you suffer unless you decide to suffer. So Bali Maharaj was told by Vamandev that one can be satisfied with whatever one has. So I need only 3 steps of land. So he agreed to give 3 steps of land. But then suddenly Shukracharya, he realized that this is a disaster for Bali Maharaj. He said, wait. He said, this is Lord Vishnu in disguise. He is Hari. He has come to take away everything from you. Do not offer him any charity. You lose everything. And Prabhupada writes in the purport, Hari means one who takes everything of yours. Everything is taken away by Lord Hari, including your mind. And that is the most difficult thing. Sometimes we can offer some items what we have, you know, some money, some intelligence. But to offer our consciousness, that is the most difficult thing. Therefore, being Krishna consciousness is the toughest. Why? There is a conflict between I consciousness and Krishna consciousness. I want to retain my consciousness. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, what is Atma Nivedanam? Atma Nivedanam means offering one's own self to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and giving of the concept of I and mine. As long as the concept of I and mine is there, then it is not Atma Nivedanam. You are offering what you have with maintaining your, trying to protect yourself. So Shukracharya said, don't offer. In fact, Shukracharya knew that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It was his good fortune, but unfortunately he was guiding wrongly. And he also knew what will happen. In fact, Shukracharya explains everything, what will happen in the future, and exactly happens like that only. He said, Lord Vishnu will expand himself. With one step, he will cover the lower planetary systems. The entire space will be covered. And with his second step, he will cover the upper planetary systems. And since you have nothing to give, you'll be condemned to go to hell because you have promised that you'll give 3 steps of land. Everything Shukracharya knew. Therefore, knowledge is not sufficient to surrender to God. Motivation is important. Even though Shukracharya knew, but just see, in fact, telling him, you surrender to Vishnu, this is what is going to happen. Rather, he was saying, don't surrender to Vishnu because this is what is going to happen to you. Again, the motivation. And then Shukracharya said, of course, you may say that you have promised now, and not fulfilling a promise is a lie, and that lie will condemn you. He said, no. And he gave a technical reason. technically he said, because you have not chanted Om, so unless one chants Om, the charity is not actually perfect. So your giving is not complete. So take it back. And then he said, to protect one's life, one can lie. So he can lie. And then he said, to perform religious rituals or to perform sense gratification or to perform maintaining one's family, if the religious practices hinder our progress in maintaining our family, our sense gratification, then one should not give charity. And then he said, since you have spoken this lie, you can take back. You have spoken this word that I will give in charity, but you can take it back, because when to pacify one's wife, one can lie. Shukracharya is telling. And then he said, in joking one can lie. In marriage ceremony one can lie. And when earning livelihood, kutumba bharanenava, kutumba means kutsit bharanenava. Unless you are cheating, you cannot maintain your family. That's what Shukracharya says. A businessman, Srila Prabhupada writes, unless he tells lies, how can he maintain his business? Otherwise your business will be like Tukaram Maharaj's business. He was a businessman where he could not tell lie, therefore he could not maintain his business. So then he says, earning livelihood one can lie. And when one's life is in danger, one can lie. Or when one has to protect the cow and the Brahmanical culture, then one can lie. And then he said, when you want to protect somebody from his enemy, then you can lie. So therefore, your lying will not be taken very seriously. So therefore, please lie and let me continue receiving my remuneration. My dakshina should continue coming. And that was his fear, that I will lose my remuneration. And when Bali Maharaj heard that, he agreed with Shukracharya. He did not outrightly reject the arguments of Shukracharya. He respected his spiritual master. But at the same time, he would not agree to follow the principle of Shukracharya. He said, my dear spiritual master, it is important that one should try to maintain these things while practicing religious principle. Maintain one's sense gratification, maintain one's family and all other aspects. And that is the highest occupation. I agree with that. So therefore I need to offer it to Lord Vishnu. If it is Lord Vishnu, then better I offer this, because by doing that the maintenance will be taken care. Without destroying the arguments of Shukracharya, he went along with Shukracharya and he said, therefore I need to give it to Lord Vishnu. And then second reason, he said, what can I do? I am the grandson of Prahlad Maharaj. And because I am grandson of Prahlad Maharaj, how can I withdraw this promise? For some devotees, it's a family affair to surrender to Krishna. In the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, you see Parikshit Maharaj, the Pandavas, Mother Kunti, facing troubles in their life is quite natural for them. From very beginning, the Mahabharata explains, when the Pandavas were raised in the jungle, in fact they appeared in the forest, when their father died, Pandu was cursed by a sage and he died by that curse. So the Pandavas came back to the palace. Now from very beginning there was a controversy. What was the controversy? The controversy was, actually they are not the children of the Pandu. So how can we accept them in the Kuru dynasty? So from their birth itself, they had to accept troubles. There was a controversy that we should not accept them because they are not part of the Kuru dynasty. And Dhritarashtra was quite happy about it. But then suddenly, the voice from the sky spoke that we proclaim that the Pandavas are actually the sons of Maharaj Pandu. Then he was forced to accept them as his sons. So that was a natural character for the Pandavas, to accept suffering and continue depending on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Bali Maharaj said, that is my background. My background is that I am connected to Prahlad Maharaj. I am connected to Virochan. Virochan also, when demigods came, what did he do? He offered everything to the demigod. So similarly, because I am grandson of Prahlad Maharaj, I cannot give up this principle. And then he gave another example. He said, earth can bear anything. She has no problem holding big, big factories. Everything she can tolerate. But what earth says, I cannot tolerate lies. I cannot tolerate lie. When Yudhishthira was asked by Yaksha, what is the greatest burden earth cannot bear? He said, lie. And in Kali Yuga, one student was saying, there are two kinds of lies. One is white lie and one is black lie. Huh? So if you have a white lie, that's not a problem. See, even in lie, people have made some systems. White lie is no bad. If it is a black lie, then that is a bad. Bribery, taking bribery is okay as long as you do their work. Sometimes people take bribe, but they don't do their work also. So taking bribe, it's okay, it's honesty. Why? Because at least you are doing their job. But here, Yudhishthira Maharaj does not agree with that. Any kind of lie, black or white, is all black lie. He said, lie cannot be tolerated by Mother Earth. Therefore, I cannot lie. I have to fulfill my promise. And then he said, anyway, this material body, what is this material body? At the time of death, this material body will make you separate from all of your opulence. So losing all your opulence by giving it to Lord Vishnu, you are not a loser. Prabhupada explains in one purport that if you lose all of your money by gambling, illicit sex, intoxication and meat eating, everybody will condemn you. But if you lose all of your money giving in charity, everybody will glorify you. He became poverty stricken because he gave so much of money to people. And there is great pleasure. Devamrita Swami Maharaj explains. It's a nice point. He says, it's a problem. In IIT he was speaking and he said, this is the problem and the IITian should solve this problem. What is the problem? That when you are selfish, being selfish is practical. But being selfish, even though it is practical, it does not satisfy your heart. Try being selfish and you see that your heart is not satisfied. And he said, being selfless is not at all practical. You lose everything, but it gives great satisfaction. He said, this is the problem. He said, I attend, you should try to solve this. Huh? So Bali Maharaj said, anyway, during the time of death, everything is already taken away from you. So why not offer it to Lord Vishnu? And then he gave another example, giving the examples of the great, such charitable people. Dadichi, Shibi Maharaj, they gave. And their fame is still widespread all over the world. So why not give like them? He was quoting the previous acharyas. And then Bali Maharaj said, my dear Shukracharya, my dear spiritual master, it has been seen all over that people are willing to lay down their life to maintain their land, their property. But you don't see anybody giving everything what belongs to them in charity to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is not seen. In the villages, when there is a fight between two families, the father is dying, but is handing over the paper to his son. My dear son, please continue the litigation in the courtroom. He tells his son that continue the legacy of fighting in the court. Generation after generation they are fighting. They die fighting, but they don't compromise. So Bali Maharaj said, everybody does that. Just like the Kamakazi, they are the one who started the suicidal force. And then the Tamil tigers learned from them. And then Al-Qaeda or the terrorists also learned from them. Suicidal bomb. So these Kamakazis, they were 17, 18, 16-year-old Japanese boys. And that can also be called as self-surrender, giving up their self. So bold, they would go to America, in the American territory, they would land and they were not even pilots. Maybe few days they would learn and they would strike. And willing to die for so many times. But in that self-surrender, there is so much of selfishness. It is not actual sharanagati, that is filled with tamogun, that you hurt others, kill others, and that is your satisfaction. In devotional service, we will study that, when you perform devotional service in sharanagati, it doesn't harm anybody, including Shukracharya. We will study that, how even Shukracharya was satisfied with the surrender of Bali Maharaj, even though in the beginning he cursed Bali Maharaj. If you read the Bhagavatam, even he was satisfied with that. But the Atma Samarpan, the sacrifice of the body for the mundane cause may satisfy you and may satisfy your own people, but it is gruesome and horrible for the others. So Bali Maharaj said that everybody does, but nobody offers charity. So let me offer charity to Lord Vishnu. And then what he said, my dear Shukracharya, if this is Lord Vishnu, then I will not at all retaliate. Even if he arrests me or even if he kills me, I will not lament. That was the conviction of Bali Maharaj. He said, yes, if he is Vishnu, then I don't care. Even if he kills me, I will not retaliate. I will not lament. And then he speaks the next verse, which is quite interesting. He said, if he is really Lord Vishnu, then I will fight him. And if I fight and win, Vishnu will lie down dead. But if Vishnu is victorious, then I will lie down dead. How is that? In the previous verse he is saying, that is Uttama Shloka, one is glorified by the high verses. Even if he does anything to me, I don't care. I will fold my hands and I will accept it. And suddenly he says, I will kill him on the fight. And Prabhupada explains, Bali Maharaj is not talking about killing Lord Vishnu, because nobody can kill Lord Vishnu. Rather he is saying, by my devotion, I will flatten Lord Vishnu. He will be so satisfied with my devotional service that he will lie down within my heart. But if he is not satisfied, then I lie down. So that was his conviction, that my devotional service, I will conquer the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Srila Prabhupada writes, only through devotional service one can defeat Lord Vishnu. With this conviction, Bali Maharaj and his wife Vindhyavali, she came with the water to wash the feet of Lord Vishnu. And Shukracharya, when he saw this conviction in Bali Maharaj, he cursed that, you think you are too intelligent. When you practice devotional service, those who are surrounding you, you know, so-called experts, so-called seniors, what do? They condemn us. You know better than us. We have seen 50 rainy seasons. You are talking more about religion. We know everything about religion. They will naturally say like that. So not only said, but Shukracharya cursed Bali Maharaj that you may be eternally condemned to the lower regions. And that also came true. But Lord Vamandev, he made it a very fantastic benediction. And then immediately Lord Vamandev, when he accepted that gift from Bali Maharaj, he changed his form. Being Vamana, he became Trivikram. He was so small, but he expanded himself to such an extent that he reached to the limits of the sky. And one acharya explains, this is what Lord does. If you offer something to him, the Lord says, one time you chant Hare Krishna. When you come to the temple, in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it is said that simply take Charanamrit. That's all. You come to the temple and say, the deities are so nice. And you get the benediction of going back to Godhead. And people say, it's so easy. They come to the temple. And devotees say, chant Hare Krishna one time. And you chant Hare Krishna one time. Then what happens? They are hooked. Then they say, why not chant 4 rounds? Why not chant 8 rounds? Why not chant 16 rounds? Therefore, yes, devotees brainwash. They not only take 5 minutes of your time, preaching starts with saying that, just hear for one time. Just take this one book. That's all. We don't ask anything from you, but just one book. Then what happens? You take one book and your life changes. Like Devamrupa was saying, that he was distributing books in Calcutta. And he was giving a science of self-realization to one person. He said, please distribute it. It's a small book, just 30 rupees. only one book. If you read this, your life will change. He said, is it that I will become like you? And then I don't want this book. You know, this small book has made you like this. I would never want to buy this book. But then Maya also does the same thing. What does Maya say? Maya say, give me 1 minute. Not even 1 minute, 1 second. Just have your glimpse. Look here. Then you look into Maya's domain. Then what happens? You realize that many, many lifetimes have passed. She also comes as very small. Then what happens? When you agree to her proposal, she conquers our life. Those who are drug addicts. I met one student. You know, he started like that. When he was very young, he started with very little. And then the habit became so powerful and strong, he became slave of his habit. And the age of 5 or 6, within few days, he started smoking 2 packs of cigarette when he was 6 years old. When he became, he's 17 year old now. When he became 7, I told him that I'm going to tell your story, and he has given me the permission. He's trying to become a devotee now. So when he was 17 years old, he smoked so many packets of cigarette, he was not satisfied. He took all kinds of drugs, and because there was no money, he would go to the college, he would sell drugs to other students and make more money and buy more drugs and smoke. And in this way, he was completely conquered by his habits. People say, you know, I can give up anytime. But you don't find them giving up. It is so easy for me to practice devotional service. I can come anytime. But nobody comes like that. So similarly, as Vamandev expanded like Trivikram, Maya also does like that. Therefore, devotional service does not give choice. Putting 1 foot in the land of Maya and putting 1 foot in the land of Krishna consciousness. Such person is most miserable. He can't enjoy material life. And he can't enjoy spiritual life. He simply suffers. He suffers in spiritual life here. And then he suffers material life there. Because he remembers Krishna there. He said, I'm not supposed to do that. And when he's with devotees, he suffers. Oh, I can't enjoy material life. So therefore, either you enjoy material life. Of course, there is no enjoyment. Only experience that how material life is full of suffering. Or take shelter of Krishna. And Bali Maharaj was intelligent. And therefore, Vamandev expanded. Became Trivikram. And when he became Trivikram, he didn't stop there. Sometime Krishna, even though he says that I am satisfied with little, with his devotees, he puts them in a great difficult test. And he takes great pleasure in that. He takes great pleasure in harassing his devotees. And that's what Vamandev was doing here. He expanded himself and he started teasing Bali Maharaj. He said, you have promised that he'll give 3 steps of land. I've covered entire everything. So where is the 3rd step? And Bali Maharaj said, my dear Lord, and Prabhupada writes, yes, I've given everything to you, whatever I have. The possessions what I've given everything. But still the possessor is still surviving. And the possessor is always greater than the possession. So because the possessor is still surviving, even though the 2 steps have covered everything, the possessor is greater. Therefore, you can put your 3rd step on my head. I'm willing to accept that. So the Lord, before that, he was tied by Garuda with the rope of Varuna. And Lord kept on teasing that you will go to hell as told by your spiritual master. Reminded that your Shukracharya told that you'll go to hell. Just to see that, will Bali Maharaj regret for making this decision? So Lord was reminding, but Bali Maharaj kept determined. They said no. And then Prahlad Maharaj came there. Now usually when there is a problem with your family, when there is a problem with my family or somebody else's family, you see such an intense bodily concept of life, even though a family member is wrong, all other family members always take the side of their own people. It's a natural thing. That even though you know your son is wrong, your husband is wrong, your wife is wrong, but what happens? The sentiments prevail and the intelligence doesn't work. It's a big trouble. Even sometimes this happens with devotees. Even though a devotee is wrong, and if you go try to correct them, all the family members make it more worst by taking the side of their, rather than helping them, they degrade them. So this we can learn from this incident. Prahlad Maharaj, when he came there, and Bali Maharaj saw Prahlad, and he didn't feel, okay, now I can take shelter of Prahlad Maharaj, he can actually come to my rescue. Rather, he put his head down with shame. And what was his shame? He said, you are such a grandfather, but just see me. I am not able to fulfill the promise given to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. With great shame, he put his head down. Not asking for the shelter from his grandfather, rather than he was feeling that I am not fulfilling the promise given to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the disposition of Atma Nikshepa. There is no akshep. And Prahlad Maharaj smiled and he said, my dear Lord, in giving all the opulence to Bali Maharaj and at the same time taking everything away from Bali Maharaj, in both time you acted very beautifully. Everybody is going along with Lord Vamandev. Bali Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, nobody is objecting. They were all going along with Lord Vishnu. And Prahlad Maharaj kept glorifying Lord Vishnu. He said, you have done so beautifully to my grandson Bali Maharaj. And then the lawyer came there, Lord Brahmaji. He was about to stop this whole thing by trying to pacify Lord Vishnu. But suddenly Vindhyavali, the wife of Bali Maharaj, she stopped Brahmaji. Said, better, before you speak, I want to speak. Now wife, as I said, will always take the side of the husband. But she's also connected to Bali Maharaj. She's also connected to Prahlad Maharaj. What she said? He said, my dear Lord, those who are ignorant of the real self, those who are falsely proud, they think that they possess everything. They think that they are the benefactor. They think that they can give charity. My husband, even though he has lost everything, still he thinks that he can offer something. He thinks that his self belongs to him. Therefore, Srila Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, when he came here, when we played that videotape, he spoke a very important point during the appearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said, what is the greatest gift we can offer to the Lord? The greatest gift we can offer to the Lord is to giving ourselves to the Lord. When we give ourselves to Krishna, to our spiritual master, then the ahankara does not stay. Then we don't analyze what happens in our life. Rather, we accept as the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had one very prominent disciple. And he was a big collector. And every month he would bring his quota and offer it to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, he said, he thinks that he is doing everything for me. He has to understand that he wholesalely belongs to me. His money is not sufficient. He has to offer his self to me. He said, that is disciple. That is Sharanagati. So Bali Maharaj's wife, she said, he is still proud thinking that he can offer something to you. She did not go against the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By taking the side of Lord Vishnu, by condemning her husband, what was her intention? That way she would protect her husband by pacifying the Lord. And then Brahmaji came there. And Brahmaji said, my dear Lord, it is too much. This Bali has offered everything to you. What he has not offered, he has offered everything to you. And you say that you are satisfied even with newly grown grass, a flower bud. But still you are not satisfied. This is sufficient. You stop it now. Our Radha Govind Maharaj was giving talk in Pune during the youth festival. And he made one point. He said, who is that master in this world who is satisfied with one leaf of tulsi? Ek patta tulsi se santusht ho jate. Who is that master? Only Krishna is satisfied. In this material world, you have to give thappiya pattas, notes. And people are still not satisfied. Huh? They can never be satisfied. But your Krishna is satisfied with one leaf. And Brahmaji was reminding the Lord. He said, he has done everything for you. And Bali Maharaj, when Lord Vishnu was told by Lord Brahmaji, Lord Vishnu was already pacified, he was already satisfied. And Prabhupada explains, how did Bali Maharaj get this conviction? Because he was a Kripa Siddhi. He had the connection with Prahlad Maharaj. And because he had this connection with Prahlad Maharaj, he could receive this determination to offer everything to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And read the disposition of Bali Maharaj. What was his consciousness? Sometime in the material world, even as a practicing devotees, we fall into the trap of being right or wrong. There are conflicts between the families, between the husband and wife. There is a conflict between the devotees with other devotees. There are conflict even between the gurus and other gurus. Sometimes there are conflict. Mundane world, Kali Yuga is so bad, there are conflict between guru and disciple also. Why? Because again we make devotional service also the principle of right and wrong. I was right, therefore the justice has to be in my side. But such a devotee does not make tangible advancement in Krishna consciousness. When we were in New Vrindavan, one devotee came and he told me this story. It's a very powerful story and I'm telling it to everybody because it made a lot of impact on my life. And this devotee told, he had a difficulty with another devotee. This devotee, one who told me this story. And this devotee, one who told me this story, was absolutely right. Of course, on a relative platform. In this situation, he was 100% right. It was not his fault. And this other devotee was harassing him very badly. And then he became angry one day and he went back and he complained and he threatened him. And then suddenly this news reached to Radhanath Swami Maharaj, who happened to be the guru of this devotee. And then this complaint went to him. So Maharaj called him. He said, what is the problem? And he told everything. This is it, this is what. And he was very clear that, you know, the support will come to him. Why? Because he is right and that person is wrong. And Maharaj told him one thing. He said, my dear devotee, he said, devotional service or Vaishnavism is not being simply right. He said, Vaishnavism is going beyond being right. Go and beg forgiveness from him. Because if we make devotional service the domain of right and wrong, then it is not devotional service. It falls into the category of piety and impiety. And if you fall into the category of piety and impiety, then the reaction is unlimited. Therefore, the pious activities and impious activities, they bind us in this material world. So if we defend ourselves on this pretext that I am right and he is wrong, that does not satisfy Lord Vishnu. That does not satisfy Lord Krishna. Then our devotional service is taken into the platform of piety and impiety. And we are given results according to that. Maybe heavenly planets. And also punishment. But when we take on this understanding, that devotional service is beyond being right. And Bali Maharaj, all this time was completely right and Lord Vishnu was wrong. And therefore, the place where people celebrate the festival, Bali Maharaj is quite famous in one part of the South India. They glorify him. But they also tell that how Vamandev cheated him. He acted unjustly with Bali Maharaj. And some moralists, they write that Ati Sarvatra Varjayet. Now Bali Maharaj acted too much, and because he acted too much, therefore he lost everything. They cannot find proper understanding of the story. Again, they take the story as the principle of right and wrong. Bali Maharaj is right and Vamandev is wrong. Therefore, Vaishnavism doesn't stop here. In the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Parikshit Maharaj, he said the same thing. that I am wrong, even though he was right. And that is Vaishnavism. And that's what Sharanagati teaches. So when we practice Atma Nivedanam, then there is the Karpanya. What is Karpanya? Karpanya is Dainyata. That it is not that they are wrong. I am at fault. I am most fallen. And I deserve this kind of treatment by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then Bali Maharaj said, yes, Vamandev said, according to the desire of Shukracharya, you have to go down. But where do you go down? Even going down was glorified by Bali Maharaj. Because Lord Vamandev became the gatekeeper of Bali Maharaj. He went down, he took him to the Sutala Loka, which has got greater opulence than Indra. Indra was satisfied with his mundane heavenly planet, but Vamandev gave this benediction to Bali Maharaj that you go to Sutala Loka and I will be the guard. And it is explained that to such an extent Lord Vamandev was so alert. One Purana says there were four doors to the palace of Bali Maharaj. And Vamandev would be guarding which door Bali Maharaj will come out. This door or that door. He would be so alert, he would not sleep. Because the guard has to be there wherever his boss comes out. So it is said that one day Lakshmi came to Bali Maharaj. He said, at least you decide from which door you want to come out. So that my husband is not so in anxiety. That is the benediction I ask from you. So that is Bali Maharaj. He conquered the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the Lord was lying down in his heart, as predicted by Bali Maharaj. After the whole episode was over, again, what was the consciousness of Bali Maharaj? He didn't say that just see my devotional service is so great. I captured the Lord. Ultimately, I was the victorious. That is the mood between the devotee and the Lord. Lord is satisfied with less and less, and the devotee is not satisfied by giving more and more. In giving, he wants to give more. In giving, he wants to give more. He doesn't stop. So Bali Maharaj concludes this story by offering these prayers to Lord Vishnu. He said, my dear Lord, when you came to the arena of the fire sacrifice, I wanted to offer you obeisances. But because I was surrounded by different demons, I could not offer obeisances on a physical level. I simply offered my obeisances on the mental level. And even though I offered my obeisances on my mental level, what a result. Just see the result. The result is as if a pure devotee has rendered devotional service unto you. So Bali Maharaj thought all of his endeavor, whatever he gave, was so insignificant. He didn't give anything to Lord Vamandev. Still Vamandev was offered such a great results to him. And there were tears in the eyes of Bali Maharaj. And this is Atma Nikshepa, no Akshepa. And Prabhupada writes, Prabhupada speaks one of his lecture, that when a devotee comes to this platform, it seems to be difficult. But by the grace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by the grace of Srila Prabhupada, it is possible. Because Srila Prabhupada told, now we are revealing some secret. One Prabhupada disciple said, he said, for my followers, you may accept it or you may not accept it. You may say that I am not initiated, but you are already hooked. You are sitting at his feet. Indirectly, everybody is his follower, those who are sitting in his room. He said, those who are my followers, I have cursed them that they cannot enjoy material life. He said, they cannot enjoy material life. However much you adjust, he said, for my followers, they cannot enjoy material life. That is the benediction of Srila Prabhupada. And you are stuck with that. There is no material life for all of you. So, when we practice the principle of this Navavida Bhakti, even though Rupa Goswami says you can practice Aneka Anga or Ek Anga. Aneka Anga means either all the 64 items, which also includes Sharanagati, or you practice one Anga, one items of devotional service. Again, it's a trick. When you practice either Aneka Anga or one Anga, that one Anga also includes all other items. That is how devotional service is tricky in a transcendental sense. And when we practice it, you don't lose anything. Because Rupa Goswami quotes part of Atma Nivedana as that when you offer everything to Krishna, you already attain all the opulence of Lord Vishnu in the spiritual world. That is the promise of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, one time one person asked Srila Jayadvait Maharaj in New York City. He said, Swamiji, a New Yorker, he said, hey guy, what does it take to join your... What does it take? No, he said, what one has to give up to join you? And Jayadvait Maharaj is walking and is witty and he kept walking. He didn't look at him. He said, just give up suffering. Just give up suffering, then you are part of our organization. So Krishna consciousness means not giving up enjoyment. Krishna consciousness means giving up suffering caused by wrong kind of enjoyment. Because Krishna consciousness is full of bliss. As Bali Maharaj, as many other devotees, I went to one place and this devotee during Prabhupada's time, they purchased this big huge building, the Detroit mansion. And the devotee Amrish Prabhu fetched his money and another devotee, the granddaughter of labor union leader in America, Lekha Shravanti Devidasi, she's Prabhupada's disciple. Apparently, we know that, you know, she had a lot of money and she offered it to Prabhupada. But when I was there, devotees told me that she gave all her savings to Srila Prabhupada. And now she lives in a rented apartment and still works for her maintenance. But there is complete satisfaction of pleasing her spiritual master. And that is Sharanagati. Even a devotee, not as great as Bali Maharaj, but coming in contact with Srila Prabhupada, were able to perform this kind of Sharanagati. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains in the Chaitanya Charitamrita while teaching to Sanatana Goswami, the limbs of devotional service are so powerful that if you practice these limbs of devotional service, specifically Shravanam, Kirtanam, hearing, chanting, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, chanting, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Associating with devotees, worshipping the deities, and being in Vrindavan. Not simply visiting, but understanding the concept of Vrindavan. Then, Srila Rupa Goswami explains, very soon, the Bhava Bhakti, the ecstatic love for God, will awaken. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Any questions or comments? We'll take one or two questions. Yes.
Haribol, Prabhuji, it's wonderful, excellent, and words. You made certain very, very heavy statements in your lecture, and it's sometimes for the neophyte devotees are very heavy. But I find even for the many people who are senior in the movement, because when you say that, you know, whatever Krishna will do in our life, we should never object. It's a very high understanding, and I'm not able to understand how Srila Prabhupada's disciples who have taken initiation from Prabhupada and they left the movement because they were not able to understand that. Or you lastly, just now, you made another statement that you cannot enjoy in material life. Now, if we reach to that stage, we cannot enjoy material life, where we are now at this time, which what you want us to do, because I am seeing some very heavy contradiction in last in life. I am seeing it. It's very, very difficult for those people who left the movement and those people who are in the movement.
Sorry that I am heavy. I'm not. I just presented whatever is there in the Bhagavatam. Again, as we go back in the original purport of Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada explains that this principle of Atma Nivedan is very rarely seen. It's very rarely seen. But in our life, at least we should act in such a way that we don't cause a problem in the community of devotees. At least we should not become so uncultured or uncivilized that even for a small thing, we create, you know, make a big issue out of it. That anybody can do. That is not a difficulty. That in the community of devotees, if there are certain things which are going against us, what is expected of us? That we don't create politics. Naturally, it is natural that we may not fall into that level of Sharanagati. But at least in our level, when we see that something is going against us, we don't make a big issue out of it. We don't create a politics out of it. If it is a problem with one devotee, rather than telling, yes, you have the right to tell your authorities and solve the problem, but rather than making it a propaganda issue, making a big issue in the devotee circle, then that shows that we are really stooped to the lowest level of consciousness. So that is important, that we continue, because the speciality, at least we say, what is the speciality of Radha Gopinath temple? Not the expertise of individual devotees. Because the expertise of individual devotees, Kali Yuga is very individualistic. People are very much attached to be individualistic. And if you live in a community, there is always bureaucracy. A lot of, you know, making that you have to do this, you have to do that. But here, the leaders have tried to create individualistic spirit, but at the same time, the community spirit. That has been given a lot of stress. So if anything destroys the community spirit because of our bad behavior, and that is bad. And this can be easily practiced by all of us. It is explained, to be a neophyte is not bad. To be honest that I'm a neophyte is not bad, but to remain there all the time, that is nonsense. To say that I'm a neophyte and to stick there, to be stuck there, it is bad. Make an advancement. Therefore, Gaudiya Vaishnavism is such a philosophy, it gives you what should be your aspiration. It gives you the high ideals, the aspiration. When you see the aspiration and when you see where you stand, when you see the gap, then you feel guilty, and that guilt is good. But if there is no high aspiration and you only know where you stand, you feel that is the standard, that I am doing quite good, and why others are objecting. Therefore, we need to know all the time the aspiration of the Gaudiya Vaishnava devotees. It is not that we come here to receive mundane benefits. We come here to receive the principle of devotional service, learn the art of becoming more and more Krishna conscious. And that is the standard. In the Bhagavatam, when we give Bhagavatam classes, we are not supposed to speak a compromised religion just because we need to, you know, give everything suiting the purpose of people's requirements. But rather we have to present the standards. And then in an individual way, our devotees are trained how that should be applied in everybody's life. If you minimize the standard, then how do you know where to judge from your devotional life? So therefore, the standard has to be presented all the time. Srila Prabhupada always presented the standard, but at the same time, if you would see a fallen devotee, he would be compassionate. A fallen devotee is not a problem, but a political devotee, he is a big problem. we have seen many times, you know, if there is a fallen devotee, you can be compassionate because you know that you are also fallen. But if somebody is very strict, but if it's a politicking, then that is very dangerous. That is very risky. That is not desirable. So at least up to this level, we can always practice Atma Nivedanam. Sometimes we make mistake. And when you make a mistake, and somebody tells you, you know, this has been seen. Rather than correcting ourselves, we want to know who is that person who has seen my mistake. Why? So that again you become hateful about that person. Therefore, yesterday we were discussing, it is better to be hated for what you are than to be loved for what you are not. Very powerful statement. It is better to be hated for what you are than to be loved for what you are not. Because our reputation is the opinion of the public. And that is very risky and dangerous. But our character is internal thing. That nobody knows. Therefore, if somebody is finding faults with us, that means there is somebody who is actually, you know, giving attention to our life. If you don't have anybody to correct you, then you are in the most dangerous position of your spiritual life. You have made yourself in such a condition that nobody corrects you. That's the greatest risk one can face in one's spiritual life. But if somebody is correcting you all the time, it may be difficult to tolerate. But at least people have that daring to correct us, knowing that this person is not going to harm me. So therefore this statement which says, it is better to be hated by people for what you are. That means they are looking at our faults and telling us, this is your fault. There is a room for us to improve. But if they love for what you are not, then that goes as an intoxication, prestige, fame. Bali Maharaj made this point also. He said, as a demon, I was infested by this desire for false prestige. But now, my dear Lord, you have shown me real path. You have ripped off all my material concept and you have shown me right path. Therefore, this place, this temple, part of ISKCON temple, what does it teach? It only teaches how to become Krishna conscious. Badri Narayanpur was mentioning, Krishna consciousness, the board is put, here we only learn Krishna consciousness. But if you come here expecting some material things, that means you are cheating yourself. Just like if you go to a store, where they sell shoes, and you expect to buy grains there, that means you wasted your time. So similarly, if you come here to learn Krishna consciousness, but if you want to increase your I consciousness, then you are in the wrong place. You'll never be satisfied. That I consciousness has to be endeavored to given up. So that is some thoughts. So I think we will stop here. It is time. And I beg forgiveness. I have no right to sit and speak here on this subject matter. But some other, I was not planning to speak, but yesterday Srinathji Prabhu said that I am going to speak on this subject. I had asked Radha Gopinath Prabhu, can I speak on a different subject? And he had given me the consent. But Srinathji Prabhu, he said, you know, he is going to speak on Atma Nivedanam. So on the order of my senior god brother, I tried to speak on this subject matter even though I am not practicing it. So I seek blessings of all the devotees that one day we are able to practice this principle of Atma Nivedanam. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai. Hare Krishna. I'm sorry, I'm taking this liberty of making this announcement before the kirtan. But I have the blessing from the temple president to do so. And this announcement is certainly not for those devotees who have come for the first time or coming for 2nd, 3rd, or 4th time. This announcement is for all those devotees who are the congregation member of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir and those who consider themselves to be the part of the family. You are all very well aware how the preaching activities in Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir are conducted throughout the years. We are aware that there are over hundreds of festivals celebrated here. And most of us are coming here for all those festivals. Not only that we are welcomed and invited, but we also invite our guests. And all these festivals, when we have a little counseling meeting arranged at our house, what kind of a preparation and arrangement are required to be done, we are all very well aware. And for all this, even fund is needed. At Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Temple, we have this facility available for all those who are coming here without any charges. All guests, even all the members. Now, only during Janmashtami, we request all our family members to go out and collect so that we can expand our preaching activities and continue and celebrate festivals with more enthusiasm and with more facilities for the pleasure of Lord and His devotees. Some devotee with the mentality of a black lie and a white lie. Someone may say, with the black mind, at Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Temple there is a lot of fun. What my fund of 100 rupees collection or 1000 rupees collection or 15,000 will make any difference here? And with a white mind, we can think, how many services I am taking from Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Temple? 100 festival at least I am attending here. 50 Sundays, maybe 50 Saturdays, maybe 25 big festivals. Day after tomorrow we are coming here on Sri Sri Radha Gopinath's appearance day. So many festivals we are attending here. And I am honoring Prasad. And even if with little conservatively, if I multiply those 100 by some figure of my own calculation, then I think I am taking services from Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir maybe more than 10,000 rupees annually. I am not trying to frighten you, my friends. What I want to tell you, by the arrangement of the Lord and some devotees, Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Ji is served here, and in that process, we are all benefited here. And if we want that we should be a part of giving some service to Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Ji, then we have here an opportunity that we can also contribute if we can afford from our own sources. If we cannot, then it's an opportunity that we can go out and collect for the pleasure of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Ji. Otherwise, what we have been hearing here, today we heard the glorious Atma Nivedan of Bali Maharaj. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami mentioned about his disciples collected, but what is expected is more than the collection. So what we have in our hand, that we mentally, like Bali Maharaj, decide that we want to be a part of this collection drive. If we mentally accept this, yes, I want to be a part of this collection drive, we request you, all of you, to please, now we have only 40 days in our hand, so please enthusiastically take part in this wonderful celebration, which is just around the corner. And we humbly request that you collect the forms and the coupon and go all out to take part in this. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Rama, Rama.